This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Okay, last lesson we briefly touched on how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was chosen as the Khalif in the Thaqifa Bani Sa'idah. Okay, I want to start off here dealing with a few narrations which are somewhat controversial and a few issues which are somewhat controversial. So there are narrations where basically which indicate towards the fact that a Sahabi called Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu did not give bayah to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now, if you remember, Sa'd ibn Ubadah was that Sahabi who was wrapped up in the cloth, and the Ansar were gonna choose him as their leader. Now, Ibn Khaldun is a famous historian and a sociologist. Ibn Khaldun, rahimahullah, says, if this narration is established, because it's disputed, he said, even if the narration is established that he did not give bayah to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said it makes no difference. Why? Because everybody else from the Ansar gave bayah to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now, you know, two people don't agree on anything nowadays. Yeah, especially a leader. So if all the Ansar did give the bayah, and one Sahabi, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, did not give the Ubayah, Ibn Khaldun said it makes no difference. That's one topic. The other issue is a narration which is related by Imam Tabari and others, that Hubab ibn Munzir, who was an Ansari, and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, a dispute took place between them. And that dispute was so severe that they were actually about to start fighting. Okay? Now, there are two narrators in this chain of transmission of this narration. One is called Hisham and the other one is called Abu Makhnaf. Both of them are regarded as Shia. So do you understand how it works? Now let me explain something. And this is a very important asool for you to actually understand historical narrations. See, what the historians would do is that early historians, they would gather the narrations with the chain of transmission. So they would present, they would gather all of them and they would regard it as amana and they would put them in their book with the chain of transmission. What they obviously expected is scholars and those who are reading the books is that they would verify the chain of transmission. Unfortunately, what's happened, especially now, is that people look into these books like Tabari and etc. historical works, and they no longer look at the chain of transmission. They look at the narration and any narration which fits their disposition, which they like, which fits their aqidah or their manhaj. They take it wholesale without actually looking into the chain of transmission. The Orientalists do it. The others who want to, you know, prove something which is according to their beliefs. Now, this causes an issue. When the historians gathered these books, they actually never thought anybody would do this. So now you have this narration, you have many different chains of transmissions of this narration, but you have one which has Hisham and Abu Makhnaf, and both of them, the Asma'i Rijal, the men of Rijal, have said that they are narrators who have Shia inclination. So you understand? It would be a vested interest for them to make this an issue. You know, insert this an additional portion. Look, in a day-to-day life, you always want the background of the person who said the statement. Sahih? So somebody says a statement, you say, what's his background? What's her background? Because you want to verify, do they have any biases? Do they have any leanings which could actually sway their opinions or make them biased as a consequence. So now this, we're talking about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. We're talking about tariq, so people had their own vested interests. So this is one usul that we should actually always remember when we are studying history. So that's that narration. Now, regarding Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never wanted the khilafah. Tayyib. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made it quite clear that he didn't want the khilafah. Even there's a khutbah where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that I never ever wanted leadership any day or any night. He says, I had no desire regarding it. Never did I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding secrecy or in open. You know, no dua, no tamanna, no desire. Yeah. وَلَكِنِّي أَشْفَقْتُ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ. But the only reason I took it on board was that I feared that there would be strife amongst the Muslims. There would be division amongst the Muslims. And then he goes on to say, he said, I have taken this azim burden, this huge burden, or this burden has been placed upon me. And I do not have the ability to fulfill the right of it unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me the taqah, the quwwah, the strength. And then he goes on to say, he said, I wished somebody who was more stronger than me would take this post. They say he was referring to either Umar or Abu Baydah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhum. So this was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He never ever wanted to take the... And many times he actually said, you know, allow me to give up the khilafah, somebody else take the post of khilafah. But everybody said, no, there is nobody better than you for this post. Now, another issue of great controversy, and in reality it's not that big an issue, but it's made a big issue, is when did Ali radiallahu anhu give bayah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu? So there's two narrations. Bukhari Muslim mentioned that he gave bayah 6 months after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the caliph. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the caliph, 6 months later, after the demise of Fatima radiallahu anha, he gave the bayah. There's other narrations. 2 days after the initial bayah in the Saqifa Bani Sa'ida, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu now went to the masjid. Umar radiallahu anhu told him to ascend the pulpit. He wouldn't. He said, ascend the pulpit. So he ascended the pulpit and he sat on the pulpit, and now there was a general bayah. Now everybody gave him bayah. So the narration mentioned, and this is related by Imam Hakim in the Mustadrak, that he looked in the audience and he didn't say Ali radiallahu anhu. So he called for Ali radiallahu anhu. So Ali radiallahu anhu came and he said to Ali, he said, Ali, do not divide the ranks of the Muslims. And also Zubair ibn Abawam radiallahu anhu. And both of them on that occasion gave the bayah. Okay, so now you got one narration which mentions 6 months. One narration which mentions the second day, and in some narration, the first day, they gave him the bayah. When he took the general bayah. Now, let me point out a few things here. Firstly, there is one narration, and this may be slightly technical. There's one narration which speaks about him giving bayah the second day, and there's one which is 6 months later. Now, generally the asul in the asulul hadith is that the muthbit narration will be given preference over that which is nafi, meaning that which affirms will be given preference over that which negates. Why? Because those who were there saw Ali radiallahu anhu giving bayah. It's a possibility that those who said he didn't give bayah weren't there and were not aware of it. Do you understand? So therefore, something which affirms takes preference of that which negates. Let me give you another example. On the Fatih Makkah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into the Kaaba. So some Sahaba were asked, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray 2 rakats in the Kaaba? Some said he did, some said he didn't. So what they say, that those who said he did will take preference over those who said he didn't, because it's a strong possibility that those who said he didn't weren't there at that very moment when he prayed the 2 rakats. And obviously those who said he did obviously saw him. So similarly, those who said that Ali radiallahu anhu gave bayah on the second day were there to say that he gave bayah. Okay? Now also, the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha who says that he gave 6 months later, they say maybe Aisha radiallahu anha didn't know. You know, that was her knowledge of it. So what about then, there are narrations that he actually gave 6 months later. So they say that he gave the one early on, and then he gave one 6 months later because there were always rumors that he hadn't given bay'ah. And to quash the bay'ah, he gave bay'ah again 6 months later. طيب? Now, that's one thing. Okay, let's say, for argument's sake, let's say he only gave bay'ah 6 months later. Even if he only gave bay'ah 6 months later, he still gave bay'ah. The issue is done and dusted. And the fact that he gave bay'ah 6 months later actually is a clear indication that maybe he thought that he actually made a mistake, therefore he gave the bay'ah. Do you understand? He thought, I should have given it bay'ah earlier on. The fact that he gave it 6 months later, you know, he wanted to readdress a possible wrong. If we take that argument, he still gave bay'ah. طيب, is that clear? Now, if you make a real big issue of this, like some people unfortunately do, you know, they make a real big issue. Ali didn't give bay'ah. Oh, Ali gave bay'ah 6 months later. Look, طيب. Do we believe that the khilaf of Ali is established or not? I'm asking you a question. Do we? Yeah, everybody agrees. When Ali radiallahu anhu became Amir al-Mu'mineen and he took bay'ah, many of the Sahaba did not give bay'ah to him initially. He would complain that what you guys come and give me bay'ah, but the Badri Sahaba do not give me bay'ah. And I will deal with this, inshallah, when I go over the life of Ali radiallahu anhu. Okay? 200,000 Muslims in Sham did not give bay'ah to Ali radiallahu anhu. Iraq people didn't give bay'ah to him. Hijaz people didn't give bay'ah to him. Many, many places of the Muslim world, Egypt, they didn't give bay'ah to him. So now, does anybody for one moment say that the khilafa of Ali is not justified or legitimate? Does anybody say this? No. We say his khilafa is legitimate. And then people make the issue, look at this. Ali didn't give him bay'ah. Your own book say he gave him bay'ah 6 months later. Yeah, طيب, his book, he gave 6 months later, he gave bay'ah. Sahih? Okay, others claim that Ali radiallahu anhu actually was forced to give the bay'ah and he gave the bay'ah, otherwise he would have never gave bay'ah. So listen to this. This is Ali. Now let me give you a bit of background on Ali radiallahu anhu, and I, inshallah, this again I will deal in more detail later on, inshallah. Who is Ali? Ali is that man who fought the greatest duel in the history of Islam against Amr ibn Abdul Wud. They say Amr ibn Abdul Wud was the undisputed warrior amongst the Arabs. They say when children wouldn't go to sleep, their mothers would say, go sleep, Amr ibn Abdul Wud will come. They say he was equal to 100 people. On the Battle of Ahzab, Ali radiallahu anhu fought him. Ali was regarded as one of the bravest Sahaba radhwanallahu ajma'in. Okay? Now here's the argument. The argument is that Ali radiallahu anhu in the time of Bakr gave bay'ah because he was forced. In the time of Umar gave bay'ah because he was forced. In the time of Uthman he gave bay'ah because he was forced. Now let me give you a few comparisons here. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was not a warrior. No, compared to Ali and Khalid ibn Walid and Umar ibn Khattab. He wasn't a warrior. You know, nowhere in his biography do you find that, you know, he stood out in a battle. Ali was known to be a warrior. Ali was known for his bravery. Uthman ibn Affan was besieged for 40 days. In those 40 days, They starved him. They stopped his water. They abused him. For not one moment do we hear that Uthman ever said that I am going to give up the Khilafah because I've got men besieging me. Not for one moment. That was Uthman ibn Affan. If that was Uthman ibn Affan, then do we believe that Ali radiallahu anhu would have been forced to give the Khilafah? To give the bayah? Let me give you another example. Hussein, the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, goes to Iraq so the people of Iraq can give bayah on his hands. He's martyred. His family is martyred. You know, a huge number of the Ahlul Bayt are martyred. Did the son of Ali, the lion of Allah, for one moment say, no, I'm not going? He went to take what he believed. What he believed. There is no nas, there is no text which says that Hussein radiallahu anhu was meant to be the next Khalif. But what he believed that he had the right over, he was ready to die for it. Those who claim that he should have been the next Khalif say that there was a text indicating toward the fact that Ali radiallahu anhu should have been the Khalif. If that is the case, then why did Ali take his right? Do you understand the comparison? Ali was Ali, the warrior. The warrior who stood out amongst the greatest warriors of our deen, the Sahaba radhwanullah ajma'in. You know, when I look at it, I think, subhanAllah, speaking like that regarding Ali radiallahu anhu is actually tawheen, is actually belittling the status of the grandeur of Ali radiallahu anhu. Let me move on to the next thing, next point. For those who claim that Ali radiallahu anhu should have been the Khalif because he was the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the argument is this: who was closer, Ali or Abbas? Who was closer? Abbas, he's the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then close, then you have Fatima, she was the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you have Hassan, then you have Hussein. Actually, in order, Ali radiallahu anhu comes what number? 5. The Sunnis did better, they made him number 4. If you say in-law wise, well, Uthman was closer, he was older, he was married to 2 daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Ali radiallahu anhu was married to the youngest daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So is that clear? So these kind of issues, when you look at them and you scrutinize them, you see, subhanallah, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, a few people may have disputed, if they disputed, regarding his caliphate. But you show me one person, really, show me one person where everybody unites upon. Nobody. People can't unite upon in families. And you have the entirety of the Ansar unite on Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. You have the Ahlul Bayt. But the most you can say that 6 months later they gave bayah to him. The most you can say. But they still gave bayah to him, radiallahu anhu. And understand, look, those who make this real big issue that the Ansar were unhappy, oh, Hubab ibn Munzir was unhappy, they were almost about to fight. Then the question is, who were the majority? The majority in Medina were the Ansar, not the Muhajirun. If they wanted to usurp the Caliphate forcefully, they could have done it any day because they were the majority. They didn't. And this is a credit to the Ansar. طيب. If you say that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu usurped the Khilafah from the Bani Hashim, because he belonged to the Bani. Who did he belong to? The Bani? Bani Taim. Good. He belonged to the Bani Taim. Bani Taim were a small tribe. There are some narrations which is mentioned that Abu Sufyan actually came to Ali radiallahu anhu, which are not really established, but let's for argument's sake accept them. And he said to him, he said, look, we, because they were the Bani Umayyah, Bani Abd al-Shams, they were huge. And then the Bani Hashim were a large number. He said, how is it possible that the smallest tribe amongst the Arab, the Bani Taim, can take the Khalifat? If you want, O Ali, we will join with you and we will drive them out. Ali radiallahu anhu said, no, thank you. Jazakumullah khairan. See, even if we don't even regard this narration as established, but even if you take it as established, then the credit is Ali radiallahu anhu, because the Bani Taim was small in number compared to the Bani Abd al-Shams and the Bani Hashim. If they wanted to forcefully usurp it from them and take it from them, they could have. But they didn't take it from them because they realized that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the rightful leader. Now I want to also go back now to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu when he spoke to the Ansar. And many scholars have written upon this, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's ability and his people skills. See, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came in to that gathering and the Ansar are praising themselves. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had in his back of mind, he knew the narration where the Prophet ﷺ said that leadership will stay in Quraysh and their ministers will be Ansar. But you see how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came in. He didn't say straight away, here's the narration. No. Umar wanted to say something. He said, calm down, Umar. Let me speak. Why? Because the ulama said Umar was Umar. You know, Umar might have, you know, said something which may actually provoke the situation. How did he start? And then this is something that we should always understand that, you know, sometimes we get this thing that, oh no, I need to speak the truth. Bang, 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 bang. No. He first praised the Ansar. He praised the Ansar. He said, what you said, you are more than that. You are more than what you actually said about yourself. And then he actually added some additional virtues. And then he told them about the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that leadership will stay in Quraysh. You know, see, so subhanAllah, these are the people skills of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Okay. Now, let's move on to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as the Khalif. Is there any verses in the Quran or any hadith explicit regarding Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Now let me mention a few verses and then we'll come to the argument or the discussion of is it explicit or implicit indication to the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now, as I mentioned earlier on, the tafsir of the verse Ihdina siratul mustaqim siratul ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim wal dhalin. Okay, those people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place, who are those favors, people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored upon? فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. Yeah, so this, the ulama say this is the commentary of that verse, that they are those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored upon. Who are those favored people? Nabiyeen. Allah says first, the Nabis, the Anbiya, the Prophets. Then Allah says, next was Siddiqeen. Out of all the Siddiqs, the greatest Siddiq was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now with the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened? The end of Nabuwa. Nabuwa finished. There was no Nabi to come after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you look at the verse, first you have Nabi, then you have Siddiq, then you have the martyrs, and then you have the pious. So from that, the status next to the Nabis is the Siddiqeen. Out of all the Siddiqeen, the greatest Siddiqeen was who? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Therefore, they say implicitly from the verse, you take out the meaning that Abu Bakr was the next rightly Khalif. Is that clear? Okay. Also in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 54, يَا يُلَذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيْسَوْفَ يَعْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبَّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Okay, now, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you believe, those who turn away from their deen, okay, those who turn away from their deen, Allah will bring a group of people that Allah loves and they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear? Now you will see, Many people turned away from the deen after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compliments these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are people who are humble in front of other believers. Humility. Take humility in front of other believers. They are strong against the disbelievers. They do jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't care about the blaming of the blamers. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ فَضُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And that is the fadl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grants it to whoever He wishes. Now, Hassan al-Basri says that, you know who these people were? When people turned away from the deen and who fought against them, he says that these were the people who were with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So Allah had already mentioned in the Quran that these people would come and they would fight against the disbelievers. And he says that they were the believers who fought alongside Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And therefore, if Allah loves them and they love Allah, then what about their leader? So this is also a, not explicit, but an implicit indication to the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Third delil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْهُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. The second, okay, one whilst they were in the, so the second of the two whilst they were in the cave. Imam Qurtubi says, who were the second of the two? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In another narration, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became very worried, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? مَا ذَنُّكَ بِإِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. Oh, Abu Bakr, what do you think about the two, meaning us two, when Allah is our third? Nothing, nobody can touch us. Imam Qurtubi says here, in this verse, the second of the two, whilst they were in the cave, meaning Abu Bakr will be the Khalifa after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is an implicit indication that the Prophet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would be the Khalifa. Tayyib, is that clear? Now, what do the ulama say? Do the ulama say that there is explicit indication in the hadith, you know, explicit which regarding Abu Bakr, no doubt that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will be the next Khalif, or are they implicit, that, you know, indications? Dawud al-Zahiri is of the opinion that the narrations regarding him, regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, are explicit, clear cut. They refer to nobody other than him. Others are of their opinion that no, they are implicit. They're not explicit. Now, one of the main narration that they used for those who say they are explicit are a narration where a woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said, O Messenger of Allah, if I come again and you are not here, who do I go to? The Messenger of Allah said, Abu Bakr. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr. So the ulama say, look, those who say explicit, they say, look, the Messenger of Allah said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Abu Bakr would be in charge. Okay? Also, other narrations which mention that it should be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is a narration related by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anhu, call your father and your brother so I can write for them. So no other people who are hopeful in the Khilafah will be hopeful after it, meaning it will be clear cut. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah and the believers will accept nobody besides Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. See, Allah and the believers will accept nobody besides Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Okay, now the question arises, this is a narration in Sahih Muslim. Why don't the Sunnis make a big hoo-ha about this? Because those narrations which indicate towards Ali radiallahu anhu, others make such a big hoo-ha. Because in all honesty, for the Sunnis, it's not a fundamental of their belief. Alhamdulillah, Abu Bakr was chosen. Allah chose him. It's not so fundamental to our belief that Abu Bakr had to be thing. For others, it's actually fundamental to the entire religion. It's fundamental that Ali radiallahu anhu had to be. It's an aqidah issue. Do you understand? Okay. Another narration where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a dream. We've done this narration where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I saw a dream and I saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu taking out a couple of buckets of water. Yeah, and he did it weekly. And then came Umar radiallahu anhu and then he took it out strongly. So Imam Shafi rahimahullah says that this is an indication that the khilaf of Abu Bakr would be short and the khilaf of Umar ibn Khattab would be long. And if you remember the narration, Prophet ﷺ said that people will live in prosperity in this time. Now the khilaf of Umar was very long and great amount of wealth came into the Muslim world. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu khilaf was just over a year. Okay. Another dalil is when the Prophet ﷺ gave his final khutbah 3 days before he passed away. What did he say? Close all the windows, all the doors to the masjid beside the door of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So the doors, the Sahaba's house were around the masjid. He said, close all, and they would just walk straight into the masjid. He said, close up all besides the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So the people say that this is also indication that he was choosing Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu as the next Khalif. One of the biggest dalils is that the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whilst he was ill, make Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in charge of leading the prayer. Okay? Make Abu Bakr in charge of leading the prayer. Now, the narrations mention that the person who leads the prayer should be aqra'uhum, the most, one who recites the best, and in some narration, wa'a'lamuhum, the one who is the most knowledgeable. Okay? Now, who was the most aqra out of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? Who can tell me? Who was the most Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ubay ibn Ka'b. Aqra'uhum Ubay ibn Ka'b. Ubay ibn Ka'b was the one who was the greatest qari out of the Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, although Ubay ibn Ka'b. Why? Why? Why did he overlook it? So ulama say, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to indicate that only Abu Bakr will be the next caliph. Only Abu Bakr leads a prayer. Although he was the most knowledgeable, but if you take the narration that the most who recites the best, then it should have been Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, but the Prophet ﷺ chose Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. طيب. And this is why Ali radiallahu anhu would say, we looked into the matter and we saw that the Messenger of Allah chose Abu Bakr for our deen, meaning made him the leader in Salah. So that's, therefore we chose him for our dunya, meaning made him the Khalif. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would say exactly the same thing. They would say the Messenger of Allah chose him for the deen, that we chose him for to be a Khalifa. Because the Messenger of Allah chose him for the most important rukun, the most important practice of the deen, which is your Salah. Tayyib? Okay. Now, personally, I actually believe that the narrations were not explicit, they were implicit. And the reason for this is why? The following. Look, if the narrations were explicit that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu should have been the Khalif, then the Sahaba would have known them. Okay? Then it would have not been permissible for the Ansar to gather in the Saqifah Bani Sa'id and choose a leader from amongst them. طيب. Also, it would have not been possible for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu himself, when he was in the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah, to say, choose Umar or choose Abu Ubaidah. It would have been permissible. Why? Because if he had already been chosen by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explicit, then it would have been haram for him to give preference to anybody else over himself. Because the Messenger of Allah would have already identified him as the Khalif. Do you understand that? طيب. Okay. The next one. Okay, inshallah, we leave it here, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of the Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to love the Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in. Look at how the Sahaba actually forwent, you know, their own maybe desires for the betterment of this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us unity like the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. Had barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakumullah khairan for watching, and please do not forget to watch the next episode, and inshallah with your du'as there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.